bringing pro football to the Mid-South for nearly two decades.
It's a miracle!
Yes!
Good! Touchdown, Titans!
This is Titans Radio. It's time to talk about the Titans right now. This is Titans Tonight, presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners, with All-Pro linebacker Keith Bullock and the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith. Live from the Music City Performance Studio, brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance of Tennessee. Now, the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith.
Welcome to Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock, presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners. Pinnacle, proud to be the official bank of your Tennessee Titans. Visit TitansBanking.com. to check out Pinnacle's list of game-winning plays to discover what makes Titans banking the ultimate checking for Titans fans. Keith Bullock, glad to have you back for week number two.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, pretty good win for the Titans in Detroit. What impressed you about that?
What impressed me was the way that the team stuck together. Detroit, well, first of all, I think, you know, there was a bunch of penalties on both teams, you know, made the game kind of, you know, hard to watch at times. But when games were going, I think the Titans defense did a great job of bending but don't break, because there was that series, I believe it was the second quarter, where Detroit scored on three possessions, but none of them counted because of the penalties that I was speaking of. And I think they ended up getting a field goal.
They did.
Titans defense has only given up one touchdown this season. So for defensively, they played great. And offensively, I think it was a great sparring match. You know, like I said, the Detroit didn't do too much to really hurt the Titans. And offensively, we didn't really do too much to really hurt Detroit's defense. But that last drive that Marcus Mariota and that offense put together, I mean, I think that's the Tennessee Titans offense that everyone's been waiting to see.
This is Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock, the third member of our crew, Amy Wells from TitansOnline.com. Hello and welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well.
Good. Hey, I have a question for Keith. Can I ask him already?
Well, is this from you? Or
No, from online. I'm jumping the gun.
You are jumping the gun.
That's your job. Excited. Ask the question.
Tell everybody how they can send in a question.
If you want to send in a question, go on Twitter. Tweet at us using the hashtag Titans Tonight. We will see it, and we will ask that question here on the show.
We'll go right ahead.
Okay, I'm very excited about this. Alex has asked, what last-minute, down-to-the-wire victory stands out to you, Keith? Like, what is your favorite that you can remember?
Off the top of my head, I think it was when Joe Nandy had two opportunities to kick the field goal. The Pittsburgh playoff game. He missed the first one, but it was a penalty running into the kicker. And then the second one, because I really just remember that moment. It was really like we're on the ground like little kids hoping that he makes it, and then he makes it, and then you got these grown-ass men hugging each other like they're 12 years old with so much joy. And I really remember that.
Well, he made the first one. But Bill Cowher called timeout.
Oh, so it was something that
I know. And remember, the fireworks went off.
Yeah.
And so everybody thought it was over, and it wasn't over. And then the second one, he kicked it, he missed it, and Dwayne Washington ran into him, sort of.
Oh, so there was three kicks?
There was three kicks.
See, I can always count on the Titans' almanac. Mike Keith.
Known as the double mulligan.
Wow. But, yes, you can see why I was so excited, right? Made it three times.
That's right. And from there, you got a chance to go on and play in Oakland.
Yeah.
How ironic.
Yeah. That wasn't part of the question.
It wasn't part of the question. He's not wrong.
Do you have another one you would like to ask at hashtag Titans Tonight, Amy Wells?
I do. Going up against Oakland coming up, it's supposed to be in the mid-90s. It's supposed to be boiling hot. And Chris wants to know, do you think that we have an advantage in that game because it's going to be so hot and Oakland is coming from the Bay Area where it is cooler?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the key advantages. Mike and I were just speaking about that. I think, you know, they played in the dome the first game. They played out in Oakland the second game. It was probably about 75 degrees. So they're going to come in here. It's going to be 93. If Oakland gets the ball on offense first, it's a great opportunity for defense to get three and out. And then offensively, just wear their butt out. I remember, Mike, in 2000, we played the Giants. What was the date? What game?
It was October 1st, I believe.
Hey, there you have it. It was October 1st. And
well, that was the game you kept the ball for 44 minutes.
They, you know, the Titans, we went on a 19-play offensive drive. Defense came out, first series, 3-and-out, and then Eddie and those guys just churned it out. So the game was over after that. So I think the weather definitely will play a factor in it, and Titans have been practicing in it since August, so they're ready.
All right, so let me throw a couple questions at you here. Oakland's going to wear the black jerseys.
Ugh.
Do you think there's an advantage to them wearing the black jerseys from the Titans standpoint? Or do you see the Raiders in black? I mean,
if I'm on the Raiders, to me the mentality is going to be it doesn't matter what we wear, but. Okay. You come out there and it's nine. When was the last time they've really been in 90-degree weather? And it's going to be pretty humid.
Not often.
So,
well, Amy, we were out there August the 27th, and we had on jackets and things.
I was wearing a sweater. Yeah,
right. It was very
was chilly. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's part of the game plan.
Okay, here's another question: Titans win the toss. Mike Mularkey is taking the football. He wants to play offense first, which is quite a change from head coaches in the past in most cases. Do you like his mentality?
Yeah, I like it. He has a backfield that moves the ball, especially when they get to the second level. You can watch and see how, you know, these safeties are coming in low at their ankles. Even these linebackers are in catch mode. They're not, you know, giving the hit. So I think Coach Mularkey sees what he has going on offensively, and the Titans, as the season goes along, they'll start to impose their will on defenses offensively.
This is Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock, presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners. We're glad to have you with us tonight. You can tweet us a question or comment at hashtag Titans Tonight. Amy Wells has already hit two of those. Want to mention we would like to thank our friends at Hardee's providing burgers for our crowd tonight. Season ticket members here with us tonight.
Titans. Yeah,
that's how you get invited to this party. Be a Titans season ticket member. And they got a Hardee's Bacon 3-Way Thick Burger with bacon strips, bacon crumbles, and bacon jam. Only at Hardee's, a proud partner of the Tennessee Titans. I already had mine, by the way.
Bacon jam. How'd that go over?
It was big time.
I got to have one next week.
You've got to have one. By the way,
I had a burger for lunch today. That's
okay, so you couldn't.
One.
That's all right. Yeah. You're okay. You're cool. Forgiven. All right. By the way, so you do a feature each week with Amy Wells at TitansOnline.com. It goes out Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
And last week she asked you your favorite place to play on the road, and you said the black hole.
Absolutely.
And that's Oakland, of course.
Yep.
You loved it.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many characters. And, you know, you go out and you're warming up before the game, and the characters are there before the game starts. And if they're not getting on you, you're laughing at them getting on somebody else. And then, you know, and a lot of them, they'll get personal, and then you get closer to the game. You know, the jokes turn, you know, you start to tune them out. And then you kind of get more of that football attitude. And then by the time kickoff and you're waiting in your tunnel for them to call you out, what they're saying to you is like just adding fuel to the fire. So by the time you play, they gave you all you need, you know? So.
An underrated Titan Classic win from out there was actually December 22nd, 2001. Titans had all the injuries that season, did not make the playoffs. It was the only time in that 99 through 2003 run the team didn't make the playoffs. But Saturday night, national television, you get a big win out there, and Keith Bullock makes a big play late in the game to help do that. Split backs. Gannon is going to drop and throw. He's rolling right, and he is sacked by Bullock. Sacked! He got him. All right. So that's also the game. Steve McNair leads you down the field late for a Joe Nedney field goal to take a 13-10 lead. But Oakland comes right back, and their young kicker, Sebastian Janikowski, who was in his second year at that time, he's one of three in the ball game. He tries a fourth one to try to tie it right at the end. 33-yarder. Snap. Set. Kick on the way. No good! No good! Janikowski has missed! And Tennessee dodges a bullet. 5:54 to play. Titans, Raiders, still tied at 10 in Oakland. He missed it.
Hey, you know what? That guy is still there. He will be here on Sunday.
Okay, but here's the question I've got for you about Janikowski. This is a commonly asked question now. Sebastian Janikowski was the 17th overall pick in 2000. He is still kicking for them today. Was that a good pick? In retrospect, was that a good pick?
It was a great pick. I remember he's in my draft class.
I know.
So I remember him getting picked in front of me. So you tell me how it feels for a kicker to get picked in front of you. So, yeah, I feel honestly it definitely paid off for the Raiders. He's definitely going to be one of the all-time greats. I definitely don't know his statistics, but for an organization to keep you around for 17 years, I mean, that says enough about you.
See, I disagree. I mean, I think he's been a good player, but here are some of the guys you could have had you not taken Sebastian Janikowski. Maybe this might have helped.
I mean, go ahead.
All right, I'll hit you. Chad Pennington.
All right.
That's pretty good. Sean Alexander.
All right.
All right.
Heisman.
Chris Hovan.
Plays hard, very hard.
Play hard. Anthony Becht, good tight end.
Wanted a tight end.
Yeah. Keith Bullock.
There you go.
You could have been a Raider.
Yeah, but you know what? Titans is cool. I always say I would have wore the Raiders uniform very well. I would have kind of, you know, I would have played into that whole Raider mystique.
Oh, yeah,
you'd
have been perfect for them.
But
okay, but let me give you a few more they could have had. Todd Pinkston, the wide receiver who played for the Eagles. Chet Clifton was a good offensive lineman for a long time. Deion Grant was a good safety for a long time. Lavernius Coles.
He would have been good there with Gannon.
He would have been very good with Gannon. Kabir Baja Biamila, KGB.
Pass rusher.
Pass rusher, yes. Outstanding pass rusher. And then the one that jumps out to me at number 199 that they could have selected, Tom Brady, quarterback, Michigan.
Hey, so here's something funny. So the Titans had a seventh. Tom was a seventh round pick, right?
Sixth, yes.
What pick was Billy Volek?
Billy Volek was not selected.
Oh. We didn't want to waste the draft pick on a quarterback.
The Titans went two picks before and took Robert Smith.
Okay, that's a good pick.
Robert was a good player.
Yeah, yeah, that's my guy. Robert is a good pick.
But here are some of the guys picked around Brady. This is always amazing to me. At number 190, John Hillard, a defensive tackle from Mississippi State by Seattle. He was a good player in college.
Never heard of him.
Cedric Woodard, defensive tackle from Texas, went to Baltimore. John Romero, center, California, went to Philadelphia. David Gibson, safety, USC, went to Tampa Bay. Leif Olive Donanot Larson, defensive end out of UTEP, went to the Buffalo Bills. Michael Hawthorne, safety, Purdue, Saints. Emmanuel Smith, wide receiver, Arkansas, went to Jacksonville. Robert Smith, defensive tackle, Michigan State, went to Tennessee at 197.
Wow.
So they're the only two guys left from the 2000 draft who are still playing in the NFL.
Sebastian Janikowski and Tom Brady.
That's it.
They're still getting that check, boy. Good for them. good for them.
Well, in our next segment, we're going to talk to a guy who's also getting a check, and he certainly ended it or earned it right at the end of the ball game with the big interception. Parrish Cox is here and will be part of Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock when we continue. Stay tuned.
Is this the meat section?
Another package of Fisher's Hot.
Stafford, pressure coming up the middle. He throws. Six. Intercepted. Cox to the ground. Parrish Cox. INT. Welcome back to Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock, presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners, our Titans season ticket members providing the crowd here tonight. At Parrish Cox, the man of the hour, welcome to Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so the first question I have to ask, I think had you run, you score. I don't think there's any doubt. But you put it down right away, which was such a smart play. Because, as was pointed out, even if you score in that instance, you're still only up 8 points. I know you're not thinking about that, but, I mean, that's a veteran move. Is that something you would have done your first year, or would you have tried to score?
Oh, no, I would have tried to score. I would have probably made the young rookie mistake, man, by trying to, get seeing only what I see and not helping the team out.
Coach LeBeau had to be proud of that.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. I mean, actually, Coach LeBeau was on me Friday, man. I wasn't having the practices that he wanted me to have, but you know, I came out and finished the game that he wanted me to. So yeah, he was very happy. I was happy that he gave me the hug.
Yeah, take us through that and let the people out there that don't know, like, you know, already said that, you know, you weren't having the week that he might have wanted you to have, and you might not even had been having the game that you might have wanted to have personally, and that happens in football. Yeah. But there's always something that can rectify the whole situation. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no doubt. You know, actually going into the game, man, you know, that's something that a lot of corners visualize, you know, especially the game when the interception. But, you know, earlier in the game, man, you know, I missed the big tackle that went, you know, for a long run. And then came back, you know, Stafford, you know, I gave up, you know, he caught me slipping. But at the end of the day, man, I wouldn't change it, you know, for what happened. You know, I would rather get the pick any day, you know, for things to happen like it did.
And on that play, it seemed like y'all were in a man, man-to-man coverage. Your man went outside, but look, you didn't feel the threat, and you just – Stafford, he seemed like he was throwing where he was going anyway, and you were just opportunistic. Take us through that play, and actually take us through the one earlier in the first quarter that got your day started off right that got called back.
Well, that's the thing. It was a couple plays, man, that, you know – they got called back, man. I didn't know that we was offsides. I thought I had the pick then. You know, it didn't work out my way.
On the deep ball
in the first quarter. Then come back, I think it was second, third quarter. I got the strip fumble, man. They called it back because they said it. His forward progress was taken away, which I don't think it was. But, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, just going through those things, man, my younger days, man, I would have been more frustrated and, you know, things would have probably went a different direction. You know, I would have probably got down on myself and, you know, probably just been trying to force myself to make a play. But I get to the sideline after, you know, all of those plays, man. You know, my teammates and the coaches, they just like, keep your head up, man. You make plays, you know, just do what you do. And, you know, that's all I did, man. I just stayed with it. And we was in man coverage. And that's the thing that Coach LeBeau was on me about, was getting my hands on the receivers. And that one play, when I did it, you know, it worked out perfectly. I was able to get my head around. And, you know, I seen him try to throw the seven round. I was able to, you know, leave my dude open.
You brought it up. I know Mike wasn't going to bring it up, but did the boys get on you after the game about Stafford Lurie?
You know what? If you would have asked me about the Stafford play before, you know, any time in my career, would that ever happen with a quarterback, I'd have told you no. But when I see the play today, man, you know, I do exactly what everybody else do. You know, he caught me slipping, but it is what it is, man. That's part of being a cornerback. Things like that happen. You know, you may get beat one play. You know, you may get ran over one play. You may slip up and drop an interception or something like that. Just stay focused, man. Just stick to the plan and stick to what your teammates want you to do and get the interception.
But here's my issue with the Stafford play. If you had come in there trying to light him up, trying to finish him off, that's 15 yards. Yeah. That's a $20,000 fine, and then suddenly you're a bad guy. So you come in and he sort of lays the wood to you a little bit and kind of looks like the, you know, the tough guy, and it's almost like, hey, wait a minute, isn't it football on both sides?
Well, the thing was, you know, I was coming off of, you know, I was passing off my man, you know, coming off, and, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, man, he shocked me. You know, I turned around, he was right there, and I wasn't able to, you know, get my feet under me right, man. He caught me perfectly on my left shoulder. And all I saw was the ceiling.
Man, it happens to the best of us.
That's it. You know, but, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, man, you know, yeah, my teammates, you know, because we have a tough room in the DB room, man. You know, my teammates, man, they always hard on everything.
Coach, rewind that, coach.
You get beat off the line, man, they want to see it again. Rewind it, man. And, you know, they got jokes for days. So, you know, just being in our room itself, you got to get the tough skin. But just playing corner, man, you know, I was able to, you know, delete that when it happened. You know, it happened. We got off the field on that drive, and the game was still in our hands. So we had to hold up until our offense pushed through. And once they was able to get through, and things just fell perfectly. Because I don't know if y'all saw the fumble that Jarrell Casey had called.
Oh, absolutely.
And that didn't get looked at. So, you know, that was able for me to get the opportunity that I had to intercept it. And I'm glad I was able to do that.
All right, let's take some questions. Amy Wells standing by. You can tweet us a question or comment at #TitansTonight. Miss Wells.
All right, Parrish. Andrew wants to know what you did with the ball that you intercepted on.
Oh, it's in my locker right now.
Is it?
It is. Well, the thing was, I was just so excited. And, you know, I was going to give it to, you know, Coach Mularkey. I was, you know, talks about giving the footballs to kids, you know, in the stands. But that was just so important, so clutch. You know, that's just one that I wanted to keep in the room. But I ended up dropping it. And Wesley Williard ended up picking it up, man. And I get back to the locker room Monday. It was in my locker.
Well, last year you battled with hamstring issues and so on and so forth. You know, going into Oakland this week, and the NFL gets no easier. You got Crabtree and you got Cooper coming in here. Talk about what it's like building momentum for an individual and a team coming off a win or coming off of a good game.
Well, personally, you know, just playing a DB, you know, you kind of take on, you know, games like this. You want these type of games. This is the games that set you, you know, that push you with the elite, you know, that push you with the teams overall. Because they got a good team. They got a good team, you know, especially offensive-wise. You know, they're number one in yardage. And you know, Crabtree is one of my guys I used to play with, man, and I know what type of game he could have. And then, you know, you got Amari, man, that can be a game-breaker anytime, and also a running back. But like I said, it just, you know, it's part of playing football, man. You want to take on that type of role, man. And, you know, we got a big one coming up, and we want to win one at home for our fans. So that's why we're going to put more into it and, you know, get, you know, however people get crunk or however, you know, my teammates get crunk, you know, we're just going to do that.
You mentioned that the DB's room is a tough room. Steven wants to know, who gives you the hardest time? Who is the biggest trash talker?
Damien Stafford.
Really?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt, man. He's a tough one to be in the room with. I mean, it could be anything. It can be things that you would never think about saying to another person, but he was there and make it a joke and have everyone laughing. So Damon Stafford, he'll get that trophy.
I always wondered if the DB room wasn't the toughest room anyway. It felt like it back when you played, Keith. What's your sense?
Yeah, the DB room is tough. You figure you got to think about the type of athlete the DBs are. You know, they're usually the most flamboyant. You think about.
Well, they all think they should be on offense, too.
No doubt.
And they're usually, since they're not on offense, they want to shut down the best offensive receiver. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always some type of competition. Who dresses the best? Who got the best uniform? Who wears their spat the best? Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't got it right, it's automatically ugly. You know, you don't want to get picked on by the DBs. The DBs are like the hyenas from the Lion King.
Completely agree.
They're the hyenas from the Lion King to me.
And so it's Damien Stafford.
It's Damien Stafford. Yeah, he's I would call him the craziest out of all DBs. You know, as far as like just speaking his opinion. You know, like I said, when he see it, he's going to call it out. So don't let him catch you doing whatever you're not supposed to be doing, something like that. He'll be the main one. Matter of fact, he was the first one that came up to me whenever Stafford caught me slipping.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt, man. He caught me right after, right when I was getting up after the play, man. I turned around, I seen him getting up after the play, and he was like, man, was that you? Yeah, man. He caught me, man, but oh well. Man,
that's cold-blooded. So, you couldn't even get off the ground.
Man, I couldn't get off. All right, I knew it was going to happen.
And
I
it's your own guy.
Oh, no doubt. You know, but that's kind of what brings us close as a whole group, you know, so, when you got players like that can get – you know, call you out on your bad opinions and the good opinions or whatever.
So how does that raise the level of competition within the classroom when you take it onto the field?
That's the thing. You know, when we first started the whole thing, you know, we make like inside, you know, bets, not money bets, but just inside bets on, you know, who's going to get the most picks today or, you know, who's going to do this. And the thing is, you know, we don't have negative opinions about each other. You know, we have more of a positive. You know, like something happened, man. You know, this is what happened. You know, you can clean it up. We know you're better than that. Go out and make the play the next time. So it's just a brotherhood, you know, in itself, man. You know, you gotta form that off-field bond, and that's what we have in our room.
You're listening to Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock, our special guest, defensive back Parrish Cox, another defensive back part of the roster today. As Chance Warmack goes on injured reserve to have surgery on his middle finger, Curtis Riley is called up from the practice squad. I think a guy that showed big in the preseason. They had high hopes for him last year, but an injury took him out for the year, and now he gets his chance to move up to the varsity, so to speak. I bet that group is very proud of Curtis Riley.
Oh, no doubt, man. It's very exciting, man, for a young man like himself. Like you said already, man, last year he came in, man, and had a great camp. I think he broke his ankle or something like that, man. Pretty bad injury that set him out for a whole year, man. And, you know, the work that he was putting in, man, and then he's another guy that, you know, that sits in the room and jokes also, you know. He's one of our little brothers, man, that we would love to see come in and make plays. And he's been doing everything, you know, everything right on the field. You know, the practice field, he knows all the calls, man. And this is the opportunity for him to go, and we're going to wish him luck and the best.
Parrish, Olive wants to know why you changed your number to 20, other than to throw off all of the media who are covering
this. Well, the thing was, when I got here, number 29 was, you know, basically the best number that was available for me. And And, you know, with all, you know, the injury that I had, and, you know, I didn't have the season that I wanted to have. 20 is just the number that I'm more comfortable with. I love 20, actually. It's my mother's birthday, December 20th. And that's why I start picking 20. But 20 is, I mean, if you go back and look at it, it kind of started off everything that got me here today.
We were speaking before we came back into the show about, you know, the Super Bowl year and the Super Bowl team. And you were saying, like, you know, how that felt to you and how that meant to you. Being here now with the Titans, what do you think this team is going to need to do to kind of, you know, get on that level, get to that caliber, and get on that path to a Super Bowl?
Just continue what we did last week. You know, we know what type of offense that we have, and we know what type of defense that we have, man. And just overall, man, just the work that we put in, we know what each other can do. And at the end of that game last week, it showed that what we really have. You know, as far as the defensive side, you know, we keep the game low until the offense start clicking. And just like everybody saw in that game, man, I think Mariota was, you know, either 9 for 9 or 10 for 10. It was perfect, man. And we've seen him do that. You know, we know that he had the talent to do that. Overall offense, you know, we can run the ball whenever we want to run the ball. And, you know, just seeing that and also just showing that we can. We was down with 12, 13 points mid for a quarter. Just showing the fight that we have and, you know, that we can go and do what we need to do when we do it. That showed last week.
Yeah, what was being said on the sidelines by some of the leaders to keep y'all in it, to, you know, when it was, you know, going back and forth? Because that's what it was. It was a slugfest. Y'all were going back and forth. You know, it was a great game to watch. So what was being said, you know, to keep some of the younger guys that you knew that might need to play a role, everybody in the game on the same page?
Well, first off, it all started with, you know, I'm going to speak for the defensive side. It all started with Coach LeBeau. You know, when things, you know, start kind of going a different direction, he'll huddle us up on the sideline every game, and he huddle us up and tell us exactly what we need to do. And when we do it, long as we stick together and the defensive side just keep the points low, offense is going to start somewhere. You know, once that happened, man, and we, you know, we keep wearing them down, and we keep doing what we're doing and getting off the field and giving the offense back the ball, eventually it was going to happen. So I think it starts with up top, and we just follow the leader.
Titans defensive back Parrish Cox is our special guest on Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock, presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners.
Luck firing. Pass is intercepted. Cox, 30, 20, 10. Cox at the 5. Cox at the 3. Andrew, no luck. Parrish Cox picks her off, and the Titans are knocking on the door again.
Welcome back to Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock, live from the Music City Performance Studio, presented by Farm Bureau Insurance of Tennessee. If you want to submit a question for Parrish Cox or Keith Bullock, tweet at us using hashtag Titans Tonight. We'll ask these guys, and hopefully they'll have a good answer. Parrish, I have a question for you about your style of play. Actually, it's not my question. It's Alan's question. Okay. But he wants to know if you prefer to play on one side of the field or if you prefer to follow guy all over the field.
I can do either. You know, either or. Last year, I played the right side, and then this year, I feel more comfortable on the left side, but I can, you know, do it all inside, outside, you know, either one.
Follow-up question. You have mentioned that you come from a tough room where everyone's talking trash. How much trash do you talk when you line up opposite side of a receiver?
Really kind of depend on how much he's talking. You know, I don't really, you know, talk that much mess until I'm mad. You know, once I get in that zone and, you know, I'm ready to go and I start talking, that's when I'm really in the zone. So it really kind of depends on, you know, the player that I'm going against.
Who is the receiver that has talked to you the most in your career?
Man, it's pretty tough, but I would go with Dez Bryant. You know, he's – but I know him, though, so that's the difference. You know, we played college ball together, but, you know,
started. Was he like there. That in practice in college?
Oh, no doubt, man. He's one of those ones. I would probably say he got the same attitude that I do. You know, once he – start talking and get to going, he's going. You know, he's on top of his game. So I would probably say that player.
What about Crabtree? Do you expect him to give you a little chatter out there on Sunday?
Yes and no. Kind of depend on how the game going. You know, if it's getting physical, you know, if we gotta go. You know, I mean, that's what starts us up, man. If it gets to that point where, you know, we have to talk mess to each other, we will.
There's another matchup. You're not going to see it, but obviously they always talk about it. Odell Beckham and Josh Norman. So it's almost like a two-part question. What do you think about Josh Norman not matching up You know, if the Titans paid you, you know, 70 mil, you know what I mean? And your homeboy over there is getting ate up on his IM, you know what I mean? Yeah. How does that go? How does that typically go?
Well, my opinion, I felt like he should have been going, you know, to the best receiver side. You know, the game that I did watch, I felt Antonio, when he played the Steelers, Antonio Brown, I felt like he should have been. That's what they brought you in there for. You know, if they paying you all that money, of course you should be able to go either side of the field, wherever they ask you to go, you know, the best receiver. If I'm looking over there, man, and my dude is getting tore up like he was, you know, like he was.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask him, man, come, let's switch. You know, let's go out. Let me go with this dude.
Also, to stick with that matchup, it got a little bit nasty, in my opinion. You know, it got a little bit personal. Have you ever in your career gotten into, you know, look, we're out there going at it. You know, but has it ever got to the point where it's personal and like maybe you forget where you're at?
Nah, like I said, probably earlier in my career, but nowadays I've been through, you know, so much, you know, on and off the field that nothing really gets under my skin like that, you know, until, like I said, it's I have to bring it out. And once we're gone, it's on.
Is it strange to play against a good receiver who doesn't talk any?
No, not really. You got all, you know, kind of different receivers. You know, I would say Andre Johnson. You know, we know what kind of receiver he is. He's a great receiver, you know, future Hall of Famer. You ask me, you know, he's a guy that just so quiet. He don't say nothing at all, you know. And you ask him questions, man, he talk to you just like you ain't playing football. You know, another one, Calvin Johnson was another one the same way. You know, he has great talent, but he's not the one that'll talk mess like that. But then you go to a, you know, more great receivers. Like I said, Dez Bryant is one of them. Odell Beckham is one of them. You know, those are guys that you know, it's a different game. You know, some people talk and some people don't. And, you know, those are quite a few that does.
Well, I definitely played with a bunch of guys that talked from the cornerback position in my day. I would say the number one corner that I say as talker has to be Pac-Man Jones.
I agree.
Pac-Man, you know Pac-Man?
I do know Pac-Man. And everybody knows who Pac-Man is. You know, even if you don't know him, everybody knows that he's a talker. So.
Yes, he was here.
That's my dog.
Uh-huh. Yeah, cool guy.
But you think about him, though. I mean, he's already got a pick this year, still playing in Cincinnati, well into his 30s. I think it speaks to his talent, no doubt.
Well, it speaks to his talent and, you know, early in his career, definitely was an immaturity issue, you know, depending on, you know, what environment you come up in and what situation you're placed in. And, you know, that's a whole nother conversation. But where Pac-Man is at now, he understands that he doesn't still have those same physical capabilities. But just watching him last week, I can tell he is a master in the film room because he's jumping plays that Pittsburgh is running before they're even, you know, developing. So that definitely goes to speak to his preparation. And like you hear Paris say a few times, you know, when I was a young player,
yeah. Sure.
You know, at his point of his career, I'm sure that his film preparation supersedes anything that he did in his first 2 years as a pro.
Well, that and the fact that the Titans had lost tons of veteran presence by the time he got here in 2005. And now you think about this locker room, and I think about you working with Byard and working with Curtis Riley and Riggs and all these guys. I mean, there's several of you, McCourty, McCain, yourself, Denoris. I mean, there's a lot of veteran presence to help those young guys to adapt.
Yeah, it is. Completely different than we had last year. You know, last year, you know, it was just a couple older guys, you know, and I was one of the older guys myself. But, you know, Jason McCourty was, you know, the oldest out of the group. But this year, you know, we got a couple of vets. Rashad Johnson is another, you know, another vet that we have back in the back end. That,
Blake.
Yeah, that we can talk to, you know, the younger players. But Kevin Byard, man, he's going to be, you know, stud, you know, in the next couple of years, man. He's athletic, man. He has great ball skills, man, and he's open to learning, you know. So, you know, that's the difference from the younger players, you know, from last year and this year is that, you know, these guys are, you know, we have more vets in the room, and these guys are more open to asking questions.
Amy Wells, I think, has another question via Twitter.
Evan wants to know how you prepare from Saturday night to Sunday morning. What is that preparation like? And taking it one further, how has it changed the older you have become in this league?
Well, everybody's different. You know, everybody has their own way. But I start off a Normatec, You know, I normally take it, and I started right after the team meet. You know, we have a team meet.
All right, now what is that for those of us who
normal take is really kind of hard to explain, but, you know, it's kind of a recovery. You know, it's like these bags you put over your legs, you know, zip it up, and it just put pressure on your legs, you know, and it rises all the way up. And it just blows over air, but, I mean, it's kind of a great recovery, you know, for the next day. But I do that, probably eat a couple bananas, you know, make sure I don't eat nothing bad and hydrate. And, you know, that's kind of how I start my day and, you know, watch film.
How to get those bananas.
Can you sleep? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you can't. The older me, I couldn't. I mean, the younger me, that I couldn't sleep as much. You know, I was nervous going into the game. You know, didn't know what to really expect, you know. But it's different, though, now that I know what to do and what to expect. You know, like I said, I watch film more and I've seen and done it all, you know. So nowadays, I kind of do stuff to keep my body right.
Well, you're from Waco. You played in Denver, right? You played in San Francisco, Seattle, three great cities. So let's transition a little bit. You're in Nashville now. It's a city that's growing. It's way different from when I got here in 2000 and I was playing. What are some of the things that you like to do in your off time? Because now we know what you do when you're getting ready for work. But what are some things that have, you know, you've taken to liking here in Nashville?
It's different, you know. California, you know, is a complete, you know, it's more outgoing, you know, outdoor things. You got the beach. There's just a lot more things to do out there in San Francisco, well, in California. But then, you know, Denver, you know, everywhere was kind of, it was sort of different for me. See, here, you know, I'm kind of more of a family man. You know, I have my daughter here with me. You know, my fiance here with me. So I kind of more spend more time with them. So probably go eat, you know, go shopping. You know, things, you know, go get a massage or something like that. More relaxing things.
That's fair, because when I played here, it was kind of more of the same things. You know, Nashville is where I worked. You know, that was my mentality. I work here, and then the off season, you know, I can go to South Beach and, you know, all these different places. Mm. That's before I became a family man. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, yeah, I still do it.
So. All right, I think Amy's got one more question from Twitter.
Parrish, Will thinks you're a liar because he said he read you're a really good bowler.
Oh,
you bowl,
yeah,
and
do.
Are you the best on the team?
I would say that. Yes, I would.
I heard Dre is good.
Hey, look, I'm open for any competitors.
Hello.
So, I mean,
ooh,
whenever
I
you
like
talk
that.
To
you
this is kind of a touchy subject for the Titans, because you go into the locker room and ask who's the best bowler, and things get weird.
Wow. Yeah, it does, but I can prove it, though.
You know? I'm going to have to sponsor a bowl-a-thon.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Host bowl-a-thon.
Just send me the text, and I will be there.
Hello.
I'm like, I got to get you or Dre to be my ringer, because I'm not going to bowl, actually. So y'all can bowl on behalf of me. So
yeah. Well, yeah.
You got to bring home the money, though.
Oh, no doubt. Trust me with that.
You've seen the Raiders before. You've seen the Raiders just a month ago. You know what a challenge it's going to be on Sunday. And I know you and the rest of the defensive backs and all the Titans looking forward to playing at home and winning one for these season ticket members at Nissan Stadium.
No doubt. That's the main thing. That's what we're looking forward to. Just bringing it home. You know, we want to make our home feel, you know, an advantage for us, man. And we haven't won here for a long time. So, yeah, that's the main thing we want to do, is bring it home for the fans. You know, like I said, as long as we bounce back from what we did last week and just keep it pushing and just build on win on top of win, you know, that's the main focus right now. So we will focus on doing that.
What's the importance of coming out this week, most especially in starting fast?
That's the biggest thing. You know, preseason, you know, that was the talk. You know, we gave up a touchdown first drive every preseason game. You know, I didn't get to play the first time that we played them, but I did watch. And, you know, it was frustrating. But at the same time, that's what we want to do. We want to be the number one defense. And, you know, if we can come out and start it off, you know, we want to do that. You know, that's the main thing we want to do.
Parrish Cox, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on Titans Tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock, presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners, continues after this.
In ancient.
Second down, we'll call it 9 from inside the 34. College throws it up in the air, it gets batted, and it's intercepted. Intercepted, Tennessee.
Bullock
got it. Welcome back to Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock, presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners. Want to thank our Titans season ticket members here tonight, our studio audience for the program. We appreciate you all being here, and they've enjoyed a fine hamburger provided by Hardee's, introducing the Bacon Three-Way Thick Burger with bacon strips, bacon crumbles, and bacon jam. Only at Hardee's, a proud partner of the Tennessee Titans. Amy Wells says that we have been overwhelmed with Twitter questions at hashtag Titans Tonight. Is that accurate?
That's true.
Overwhelmed?
It's been delightful. I would rather have all the questions than none of the questions. So always send questions.
We need to get more. Keep them coming.
All right,
I know it.
Throw it. Fire away, Amy.
I've got one right now. Jose wants to know, Keith, if you, when you went up against Eddie George, if you ever went up against Eddie George in practice, who won most of the time? And we need you to be honest in this moment.
Yeah, it's easy. Well, you saw, if, I don't know if you saw Hard Knocks, there was a point where Jeff Fisher was like, don't hit Todd Gurley. It wasn't necessarily like that here, but there was one time in camp. It was a full pad practice and it was a sweep. And I remember I was scraping and it was towards the sidelines. And, you know, Eddie and I made eye contact and he had that look and I had that look. So neither one of us pulled off, but I kind of spun off the tackle, you know, so we kind of made contact, but you don't hit in practice. But, you know, as football players and as competitors, you know, we had that look in our eye a bunch of times, but we only made like real contact one time. So I would say it doesn't ever happen.
Brenda wants to know, when you have a situation, when you have a game like we saw last week where the refs are calling a lot of penalties, does that change the way that you play?
Yeah, if you're the one that the ref is calling the penalties on. I mean, look, yeah, that, I guess that's my answer. If you're the one they're calling the penalties on, yeah, I would change my style. But if you're not the culprit, then, you know, keep doing what you're doing.
You want to go again?
Oh, sure. I told you.
Do you need a moment or are you ready with another one, Amy?
Well, I have another one.
Okay, go.
This is a college football question.
Good.
Are you interested in college football?
Of course.
Okay, who is your early Heisman favorite? It's what, week 4 in college?
Yeah. Lamar Jackson. You know, Lamar Jackson, 900 yards passing, over 400 yards rushing, responsible for 8. Yeah, he's doing it all right now. But look, they got Marshall this week, and then they have a tough game against Clemson. Clemson is ranked high. And then later in the year, college football is just so crazy. You got to win every week. So they can't afford to take a loss. Louisville, I think, at this point, if they're going to lose, they need to lose now, right? Isn't that how it
generally
works?
Early helps. I mean, they're up to what, number 3?
Yeah.
I mean, beating Florida State the way they did was crazy.
Like, no, they really whooped them.
Yes. All right, let's talk about tonight. This is a game that's important to Titans fans. Houston playing at New England. No Jimmy Garoppolo. Jacoby Brissett is going to be the quarterback, the rookie out of North Carolina State. Edelman is going to serve as the backup. It would seem like if you're ever going to get New England, it has to be tonight. Does Houston get New England?
I'm going to say no.
Wow.
I'm going to say no just because I feel that it's going to come down to coaching. New England will find a way to keep it close, run the ball with LeGarrette Blount. I'm sure they're going to have enough plays for the young quarterback to be able to manage. But I just – because this game, it's like one of those things. You know, Jeff Fisher versus Tom Coughlin. So this is O'Brien versus Bill Belichick. He comes from the same family. So I like to think that the Jedi Master schools the Jedi.
So Yoda's going to get him, is what you're saying.
I mean, that's just what I'm going off of, because I just feel that there are so many ways to make a game even. And I just also feel New England is the king of the game plan. You know, they started off 2-0 with Garoppolo. They didn't lose a step. His kid is a rookie. They drafted him for a reason. So, look, that's where I'm betting, if we were betting.
Have you been impressed with Garoppolo, with what you've seen?
Yeah, he knows where to go with the ball. Denver has that. I mean, I'm sorry. New England has that short passing offense. You know, he set Hutt, and in 2 seconds, the ball is out. He knows where he's going based upon what the defense is showing him. So he was running it well. So that's why I'm saying, if they can find 5 plays that the rookie can run well, they can do screens, little jet screens with Edelman, even have a couple plays that Edelman can run and have him come back there and actually line up at quarterback, because defensively, you don't know what the heck is going on. So I just think it's going to come down to game plan.
Garoppolo, he's a pretty good guy, though, Amy. Remember he was in for a pre-draft visit?
He was. He was. He who's a great interview. I remember that. He was a very good talker. Very That's good. What I remember about pre-draft visits.
Yep. Nice. Easy to deal with, too.
I mean, look, the kid, he had it going on. He had it going on. He was putting up good numbers last week, but tough game.
All right, what do you think about Sunday for the Titans? Give us your overview of Tennessee, Oakland, a big game for both teams, especially for the Titans at Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, it's Tennessee's game to win, I think. Oakland has to travel across country to play, depending on when they get in. It doesn't matter. It's still going to be hot at high noon on Sunday, so I think Tennessee takes advantage of that, especially offensively. Parrish already says the defense is ready to take the stage, you know, even if they have to go out there first. But offense is definitely going to be the key to this game because they have to control the ball and keep the number one offense in the NFL off the field.
You think Tennessee wins?
I think Tennessee wins. I'm not good with scores or anything like that.
I'm not asking for one. Don't worry.
Yeah, but no, I think Tennessee wins. I think Tennessee wins.
Good show tonight.
Great show.
Really, really enjoyed having Parrish Cox in here. That was great.
Great interview. First time meeting him, and even better interview.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely.
Titans Tonight with Keith Bullock, presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners, the official bank of the Tennessee Titans. Titans Tonight is produced by Alan Kirby, Titans radio producer Brad Willis, traffic director Kendra Holt, sales manager Hunter Rice, Titans radio executive producer Rhett Bryan, operations manager Charlie Cook, general manager Allison Warren. We're on the air Sunday at 11 Central, noon Eastern for Titans Countdown. Hope you'll join us then. For Keith Bullock, Amy Wells, and Parrish Cox, Mike Keith says thanks for listening. Have a great night, everybody.
Titans Tonight, presented by Pinnacle Financial Partners. Pinnacle is the official bank of your Tennessee Titans. Visit TitansBanking.com to discover Pinnacle's winning plays. Member FDIC. Titans football happens again this weekend. Never miss a single moment. This is Titans Radio.